I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to this week's edition of Monday Night Shaw. This week, I'm continuing my little series of interviews with local referees in the area. And on this week's show, I've got one of the head honchos from Calgary. It is Cedric Hathaway IV. How are you doing, brother?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem, man. I'm happy to have you on here. I mean, you've been refereeing for as long as I've been with RCW, and much longer, presumably.
Yeah. Well, I actually started off as a ring announcer back in 2004, 2005 with the original Stampede Wrestling when they were doing shows down at the Ogden. Ross Hart had called me up and gave me a tryout, and I did ring announcing for 7 or 8 years, and it wasn't until probably 2011, 2012, I switched over to refereeing and just fell in love with that.
Oh, wow. So how did Ross Hart get your number? Like, is he just randomly calling people and being like, hey, you want to be involved in wrestling? And like,
no, I'd actually just moved to Calgary and, of course, was a giant wrestling fan, grew up loving wrestling, and was excited to go and attend a Stampede show. And I was on their website, and it was just on their message board. At the time, they had a kind of a little ad looking for, you know, broadcasting students and whatnot to apply because they were looking for a new ring announcer. Okay. And so I just sent my resume. I said, I'm not a broadcasting student, but, you know, I'm lifelong wrestling fan. I think I have an okay voice. Would love to give it a try. And it's probably a week and a half later, I got a call from Ross, who was willing to give me a try. And so we went down to one of their Friday night shows at the Ogden Legion, super nervous, and went out there, and I thought I did a horrible job. And, you know, the fans were yelling and booing and calling me names and everything. And, you know, first time you're kind of in front of that, it's pretty nerve wracking. But I got up there, and he thought I did okay, 'cause he invited me back again. So.
Right on. So were you stoked to come back and do it again?
I loved it. I loved it. And I ended up doing it every Friday night for a number of years. Those were the days when, you know, Harry Smith and Natty and TJ and Apocalypse and Randy Myers were still with the territory. So it was a lot of fun. And then, of course, watching a lot of them go to have so much success, it was very cool.
Yeah, they've a lot of them have had some great matches and whatnot too. Like that's one of the things I think about when I think about the referees in this area is you specifically have been in the ring with a lot of like big name superstars.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's one of the thrills of my life too. You know, growing up watching a lot of these guys in the 80s and 90s and then getting the opportunity to be in the ring with them and have these matches, it's been an absolute blast. And yeah, guys like, you know, John Morrison and Sami Zayn and, you know, infamous match with Jeff Jarrett and so many others. It was pretty cool.
What was the Jeff Jarrett match like for you?
Well, it was interesting. you know, there was a lot made, kind of hit the wrestling news, how Jeff Jarrett was, I guess, passed out in our locker room, you know, passed out or sleeping. But there was no doubt he was under the influence while he was there. So, you know, he had that match with Metal. And actually, I don't think the match in itself was all that bad. But, you know, you could definitely tell he wasn't 100%. And of course, he ended up leaving before doing the Edmonton show the next night, which I think is how it hit the news.
Oh, okay. Did you have any like interactions with him?
You know, in the back, he was just, I guess I would say, not that interested in preparing for the match. He was more just kind of going around. You know, making fun of guys, just kind of being a goofball, doing the old slap nuts trick, that kind of thing. But he definitely wasn't there to take the match seriously at all. So,
oh boy, yeah. I mean, I remember that night too, and it was a good one. It was one I'll never forget. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think the video now has got something like 80,000 views on YouTube. So.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. And did you referee some Kevin Nash matches?
Yeah, I refereed. Well, it was actually one of the first matches I refereed. It was back in 2013. And they had the One Heart Legacy show over at the Pavilion, which then changed to Next Generation Wrestling. So they had one show each, and they booked like the entire world. And that was the match, that was the night they had Kevin Nash, who actually wasn't supposed to wrestle that night. I think he was just supposed to be there in sort of a managerial role or whatever. But after someone else pulled out, I think it was Davey Richards pulled out, and then Kevin Nash had his gear with him and agreed to go up as a replacement. So that was a thrill.
Quite
for
the
sure.
replacement.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nuts. Like,
yeah.
No offense to Davey Richards, but like, wow.
biggest pop of the night was when that Diesel music hit and crowd went nuts. So, and it was a good crowd too. I think there was, there had to be 1,000 people at that show. So,
so you've worked for Stampede Wrestling, Heart Legacy Wrestling, Next Generation Wrestling, Real Canadian Wrestling. Is there any federations in Alberta you haven't refereed for?
I've never refereed for PWA. Mostly, I mean, I love most of the guys there, mostly just because they don't allow their guys to work for anybody else. And I just don't want to miss out on an opportunity if it comes along to, you know, to do a big show if it happened to be with some other company. But they put on a great product too. And I think the other one in Edmonton is a Monster. I've never been involved with them either. But pretty much everything else through Calgary I've been involved with.
Wow, that's crazy.
We had I was ring announcing for Canadian All-Pro as well. And then there was the one weekend when the Insane Clown Posse had their Canadian Juggalo Festival here in Calgary. So I could add Juggalo Championship Wrestling to my resume as well. So.
Right on. How was your experience refereeing for Juggalo Championship Wrestling?
That was crazy. That was one of the wildest things I ever experienced. The crowd was... the crowd was crazier than the wrestlers. And, you know, I remember being in the back in the locker room. And of course, they had a lot of musical guests as well. It wasn't just a wrestling show. They had wrestling in between the different bands and rappers and stuff. And Two Live Crew and Onyx were sharing a dressing room with us. So I was in the back drinking and telling stories with Two Live Crew. So that was quite an experience.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, just like from like all your, like your Facebook and everything, like you seem like a very upstanding, like, you know, Christian, like dude, you know, and then for you to be back there, like cutting it up with Two Live Crew, who's like one of the most notoriously like filthy rap groups.
It was definitely a different, I think we just found what we had in common, which was sports. And I don't even remember the name of their lead guy, but he was a big sports fan. So we spent a lot of time talking about NFL football, which we both had in common. So,
so when you transitioned from ring announcing into refereeing, who were some of the other referees that were around at that time that kind of like helped you get a hold of like what you needed to be done?
Well, probably again at those Heart Legacy Next Generation shows, Wayne Hart was involved with those shows, and so I spent a lot of time talking to Wayne and just taking some of his guidance. And of course, he's probably, you know, the most legendary referee in Alberta wrestling history. So I just took a lot of my advice from him. Besides that, it seemed like the promotions just went through so many referees that I didn't really get to spend a lot of time with any particular ones outside of just chatting with Wayne. And of course, I was quite close with Ross. So Ross Hart was also able to give me a lot of advice. And the boys that have been in the business a long time, you know, you do matches with these guys and they just kind of tell you after, you know, it would have really helped if you did this for me in the ring, or when you're doing a tag team match, if you, you know, maybe spend a little bit more time in the babyface corner for various reasons, and you just kind of pick up little tips along the way.
Yeah. What are some of those like little hidden things, hidden responsibilities the referee might have that maybe the audience wouldn't pick up on, but are things that kind of like fall on you to keep under control?
Yeah, well, a lot of it is just communication between the wrestlers. If they happen to not be, you know, in a headlock or something, they might need someone to communicate some things back and forth. Obviously, if there's times when they go through the crowd, there's got to be some crowd control there because you don't know what's going to happen. And then there's just little intricacies in the match. You know, in tag matches, it's pretty notorious that you know, there'll be a babyface tag and the ref doesn't see it, then he can't let that guy in. But if you're not in the right spot, if you're on the opposite side of the ring, it's pretty hard to get there in time to prevent that babyface from coming in the ring. And then, of course, letting the heels double team behind your back, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's a, it's pretty classic, like, tag team spot. And it does suck if you mess it up, for sure.
Absolutely. And there's nothing worse than blowing a match as a referee, yeah, which I think everybody has done.
We were doing it. We were doing a six-man tag team match in training, you know, a little while ago when that was still allowed to go on. And then, we did one of those false tag spots where I was, like, pushing one of my opponents back to the corner so that me and my you know, babyface tag partner could tag, and then, you know, like, I'll go out, and they come in, and the referee tells them to piss off because they didn't make a tag or whatever, they didn't see it, but no, that the referee saw the whole thing, and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm going to stand on the apron now, because, like, the referee clearly saw the tag and was like, yeah, you're in, you're out. I was like, oh, okay. You
know? Exactly. Just, and otherwise, you look like a dumbass if you see something and you don't call it, then you got to go with it. So yeah, it's probably one of the best advice I ever got was just to treat it as much of a shoot as you can, right?
100%. Last person I had on here as part of like my referee thing was Ref Ben, who was with Monster Pro Wrestling, and they're running like a training ground. So he went through actual like referee training. Is that something that you underwent, was like legit referee training, or was it just kind of like figure it out?
Yeah, I pretty much just figured it out, to tell you the truth. Although there would have been a ton of value in actual referee training, and I'm sure there still would be, because I'm sure even now there's so much that I don't know, especially the guys that are on TV and do it for a living. There's just so much to it. I'm in a Facebook group of all referees from all over kind of North America and all over the world, really.
Oh, okay.
And this is just something I've joined in the last year. I didn't even know it was there. Maybe it wasn't there before, but just some of the tips I see on there and different, I guess, opinions on how different things should be handled. And I've picked up a lot just that way. So yeah, I'm sure if you could have like a seminar with some referees that have, say, been in WWE or some of these big companies, be so valuable.
Yeah, that's interesting. Oh, pardon me. Sorry. I think it's interesting how, like, sometimes a lot of the people that are referees are just kind of, you know, you just one day show up and they need a referee and suddenly there's a new referee, you know, like that's I had to referee a few matches for RCW. I don't know if you remember that, but and yeah, it was very much just like, oh, we were in a panic and we need a referee. And
well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of indie wrestling, you know, especially, you know, these smaller promotions. That's just how it goes. It's like one day you need a referee doesn't show up, or, you know, nobody booked a guy, and it's like, oh, hey, you know, you're a referee today. You know, it'll be at some small town in front of like 15 people, And that was basically how it happened for me. And then after that, I was like, you know, this is really cool, really fun. I think I'd like to learn more. And just kind of fell into place.
So. Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is interesting. And I mean, I think one of the reasons that I wasn't like super like crazy nervous about it was because I had already undergone some like ring training and had actual like wrestling matches, right?
Mm-hmm.
I sort of had like some idea of like being in the ring. But if they had, you know, if I had done that beforehand and was just sort of out there cold, yeah, there's a lot of potential to just ruin some people's night. Like, you know, most importantly, like the wrestlers that you're in there with, if you ruin their match, they're not going to be happy about it.
Exactly. And I think any wrestler knows what it's like to have one of their matches botched by a referee. And just the same way, I think every referee knows what it's like to botch a finish. And it's not a good feeling.
Has there ever been a situation where you've gone out there, like, you don't have to get specific about it or anything, but like, has there ever been a situation where you felt like one of the wrestlers made you look bad?
I would say just, you know, bad matches in general, where it's just like a complete cluster, or, you know, sometimes you got a guy in there who's maybe not quite ready to be in the ring. Gotcha. And no matter what you do, there's no way not to make the whole thing look like just a train wreck, right?
Yeah.
And so, and again, that's part of indie wrestling as well. I think on the RCW roster, we could be really proud of some of the talent. And I think our main event matches are often as good as a lot of what you can see kind of anywhere in North America. But at the same time, you know, the bottom level guys and the guys that are just coming up, and we have guys that are just, you know, their first match ever in front of a crowd is with us. And, you know, sometimes those are hit and miss for sure.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair for sure. And you said you transitioned from ring announcing, and that you were a ring announcer for, what did you say, 7 years?
Yeah, it was a good 6 or 7 years with Stampede, to basically till it shut down, whatever year that was, 2010-ish, 11, I think, was when it was finally done for good.
What did you enjoy about ring announcing?
I just like being in front of the crowd, and I mean, you've done it. You were an excellent ring announcer for RCW. I thought I had a good voice for it. And, you know, just growing up watching wrestling, there's just something about saying, you know, and new RCW champion, you know, and you get that whole Howard Finkel thing going, and it's pretty awesome, especially when the crowd is jacked, right?
Yeah, 100%. What did you find to be the most challenging aspect of being a ring announcer?
What was the most challenging thing? I think the most challenging thing for me was just trying to do it by memory. I spent most of the time using little cue cards, but I always wanted to go out there and just do it by memory. But I would always be so nervous about forgetting the guy's hometown, or worse yet, his name while I was in the ring. So,
do you remember the time when we were in Calgary and there was like a Storm Wrestling tag team match or something, and one of the guys comes out and I just kind of walked up to you and I was like, I have no idea who this guy is. you know who he is, and you're like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. And that is the worst feeling. Then you got to kind of go and whisper, hey, bud, what's your name again?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was just like, it was one of those things. That was probably what I found the most challenging about it, is that oftentimes there's a lot of last minute changes and stuff, you know?
Yes.
And then so, like, especially like if you're finding out about these last minute changes while you're in the ring doing your job, it can be really like challenging.
Absolutely. And one of the things, I mean, sure, you've learned about professional wrestling is as much as everything, everybody says that everything is choreographed beforehand and practiced, you have no idea from one match to the next what's going to happen out there. So much happens that's unexpected or unplanned, and you have to be ready to adjust on the fly, whether you're wrestling or refereeing or ring announcing. So
Yeah, that brings me to an interesting question. Like, have you ever been in a situation where you had to administer some first aid or call off a match because of an injury or anything like that?
Nothing really serious, but I have had a number of matches where they've just basically gone home early because of various injuries, sprained knees or whatever. When Sweet Daddy Soul last year broke his leg, I wasn't actually in the ring for that match, but that's the kind of thing that you fear. It's like, oh, what if something really, really serious happens? We get some of these old time wrestlers that come through our promotion as well. And, guys have had heart attacks in the ring. So,
really?
It's happened. It hasn't happened during my match or anything like that. Oh, okay. But there are examples of guys that have had heart attacks and even died in the ring, right? And so there's always a possibility of something like that happening. But I've been fortunate not to be in the ring with anything extremely serious outside of sprained ankles and knees and a bit of blood and whatnot.
Yeah. Given all the different kinds of matches and stuff in professional wrestling, can you give me the top three wackiest matches you've ever been in?
Yeah, definitely. The one that stands out to me was the Pin Falls Count Anywhere match. That was it was at a different Legion. It was for RCW, and it was with Jesse Neal against Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega at the time was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. And unfortunately, even though it sounds like a huge draw, it was on the same night as a Flames game. And I think it was a Flames playoff game. And I think we only had about 50, 60 people at that show. It was at a Legion we didn't usually do shows at. But these guys ended up fighting, not only all over the building, but outside or swinging off trees. At one point, I had to jump into a dumpster and did a two count and rolled down. Guy had a figure four on the other guy down by the river, and it was a fantastic match, which I think you can also find on YouTube. I think it has 10 or 12,000 views, but that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. The other ones were probably the Next Generation show when they had a 6-way. Match for their championship, and I think it had John Morrison, Teddy Hart, Sami Zayn, Kalisto, Brian Cage were all in that, and Harry Smith, I think, was the other one. So I think I got all those names right, but just a star-studded 6-way elimination match, and that was
the all-star team for
sure. yeah and that was unbelievable. So eventually ended up with John Morrison winning the championship and me taking a power bomb to Teddy Hart's knees at the end of that, which was the first big bump I've ever taken, actually. So that was wild.
Did he just call that in the ring or
Yeah, it was not planned. Halfway through the match, Teddy Hart gets counted out. That was planned.
Okay.
But then he just went ballistic. So much to the point where I thought, did I do something wrong? Was that not the spot? And he throws water at me and gets in the ring and he grabs my shirt and rips my shirt and he just goes crazy. I thought he was gonna beat the crap out of me.
Okay.
Finally he goes out of the ring and they're escorting him to the back. And John Morrison just comes over and he kind of whispers, do you bump? And of course, at that point, I was just pretty new referee. I'd never taken a bump in my life. But of course, I wasn't going to say that to John Morrison. So I was like, sure, man, whatever you want. And he just said, okay, we'll do some stuff after this. And that was it. And so it wasn't until the end of the match, Morrison won the match. I gave him the belt and he grabs the microphone and Teddy had joined him in the ring. And he said, before we celebrate this championship, there's one thing I have to do. And then John Morrison and Teddy proceed to double team me. Took a big chop. And then, Teddy Hart just threw me up for this big power bomb and dropped me on his knees, and it was quite a spot.
That's nutty. Like, that's not even just like, oh, you know, can I whip you off the ropes and give you a clothesline? You know, that's what I'm expecting. Like, if you're the referee and like, you're like, oh, can you bump? You're like, oh, can you take a clothesline or a body slam? Not a power bomb onto the guy's knees. Like,
yeah, that was to this day the craziest bump I ever took. But that's Teddy Hart, right? So
that's a crazier bump than any that I've ever taken. Yeah, no.
Good times.
Oh, that's awesome though. Like, you must have a lot of great stories about just being around like the Hart family in general, eh?
Yeah, you know, they're all awesome. I think Ross is just my favorite guy ever. He's so nice, and he seems to be the guy that gets along with all the other Harts. Like, I really feel like Ross is the guy that can, you know, kind of holds that family together to some point. You know, Harry Smith is awesome. Great guy. It's been a while since I've worked one of his matches, but I just think he's one of the best out there. You know, when I've had the chance to talk to Ellie or Bruce or Wayne, they're all just awesome people. And I've enjoyed my time getting to work with him. Of course, Bruce is involved in RCW now. So the conversations we've had and some of the experiences he's had in his day are just awesome to hear. And I think if you don't spend time talking to those guys, you're missing out on a huge opportunity as a worker in the business.
I always like to say hello to Bruce and stuff, but I will be honest, talking to him like at length can be intimidating.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he really does know his stuff, and he really was kind of ahead of his time, I would say, you know, as a booker, and just, he does have a ton of knowledge. Ross is amazing. He's just a historian. He could go back just decades and tell you everything about everybody in all these different promotions. He's like a wrestling encyclopedia. If you don't have the internet nearby, you just ask Ross. He can probably fill you in. So,
well, that's great. Did you, when you were having like, you know, when you were building all these relationships, did you ever have the inclination to actually like don the tights yourself and train and become a wrestler?
I mean, yeah. I mean, as a big fan, I think most fans dream of being in the ring and hold, you know, main event of WrestleMania and holding up a title. You know, I was never a very athletic guy. But you know, I think it's one of those things where if I had made the decision early enough and dedicated myself to it, you know, yes, you can do it. But, one of the things I've learned is it really takes so much dedication. And like, I've seen what you've done and the improvement you've made over the last couple of years in the ring. And frankly, to be honest, I just was never willing to put that kind of time in. The countless hours of training. I think it's really tough to have a family. As you know, I've got five kids, and just the going from town to town to town and the dedication that all these guys have to their craft is something where, you know, I don't think I would have ever been able to put that kind of time and energy in, but I have nothing but respect for all the guys that do. I do have one story though. I grew up in Prince George when I was, I think, 22, 23 years old. All-Star Wrestling had come to town.
Okay.
And they had a thing in the afternoon before the show where you could pay $20 and do a tryout to be a professional wrestler. And so I'm like, that's awesome. I'm doing that. And so I went. Michelle Starr, Juggernaut, guys like that were involved. And me and only one other guy showed up, and I was probably only 120 pounds at the time. And they just basically put me through the craziest cardio workout of my life. I was just having a hard time not puking. And after, 45 minutes of straight cardio that I was in no shape for, then they basically just taught me a couple rolls and how to lock up. And by that point, I was just dead, and that was the end of that. So,
Oh boy.
Went to the show at the end of the night and enjoyed the show. But that was the last time I ever had any dreams of actually being a wrestler. So.
Well, I mean, what about, have you ever considered being like a ringside manager, or is have you ever thought of yourself as like a promo guy?
I've thought about it. I think I could do the job as a manager, and maybe one day that'll be in the future. But, you know, right now I'm really happy being a wrestling referee. I think it's something that if I could stay in somewhat okay shape, you know, I can hopefully do it for another 10 or 20 years, right? And that would be great. And the nice thing about being a referee is you're actually, you know, you're right in there during the match, and it's still physical. It's still, you know, you can still take bumps every once in a while, and you feel like you are, you know, that true third man in the match. And it's something that adrenaline rush, I don't know if I could get doing, necessarily a managerial role.
See, like, I don't know if that registers to me or not, 'cause I think, like, I would suspect the adrenaline rush would be like much higher, especially if people are like actively, like, you know, cheering when you take your bump. Like, you know what I mean? Like, usually if a ref takes a bump, he just happens to take a bump. Nobody's really, really like, oh yeah, fuck that ref, like beat him up, you know? Like,
yeah.
Excuse my language, but
no, it's all good.
I'm just saying, like, if you were going out there intending to get a heel reaction, went out there, got a heel reaction, like, I think that adrenaline rush might beat the one where it's just like, oh, I happened to get bumped and
right,
they made some noise, absolutely. You know, like,
yeah. I think the great thing about, you know, professional wrestling is there's so many different ways, you know, whatever it is for you as an individual that kind of drives you. And yeah, for me, it's just kind of being in there doing that 1-2-3 count at the end of the match and, you know, holding up the guy's hand and giving him that championship belt. And for me, and just feeling the energy from the crowd. And that's kind of what I love. So,
yeah. Well, did you, just like based on your connections and stuff, have you ever had like the opportunity to go and work for, like, a WWE show in Calgary or anything like that?
I've not to this point. To be honest, like, I've not tried. I've never sent a resume into WWE or anything. But I would, of course, I would never turn down the opportunity if it presented itself. You know, if someone said, hey, WWE calls and said, hey, we need a guy tonight, we're short a referee. Of course, that would be a dream come true. I'd call everybody I know and say, get down to the Saddle Dome right now.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, I can only imagine how that cool that would be, for sure.
Yeah.
So, is there anyone in Alberta that you have yet to like referee that you want to ref matches with? That you think you might learn something from, or for whatever reason, you just think the experience might be cool?
I think that I've refereed matches with most of the top guys that are like indie guys in Alberta right now. There's certain matches that I haven't refereed yet. Like, for instance, I'd love to ref a match with, you know, a guy like Heavy Metal and Michael Blaze, for instance. I don't think I've ever refereed those two guys. I could just see them doing something special with Blaze's ingenuity and repertoire of moves combined with Metal's storytelling ability, which I think is second to none. Out of anybody I've worked with, Heavy Metal's ability to tell like a story just within a match and also develop a program is amazing. So I think he's really underrated, even though he's been a top guy in Alberta for a long time. But I think, yeah, there's so much farther he can go.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, I go to the training center, at least I was when it was not closed down by COVID restrictions. And, you know, you get to see, like, Metal and MRB and, like, them sparring off and stuff, you know, at least, like, before Metal broke his shoulder and whatnot. So, like, whenever they do eventually, you know, face off one-on-one in the ring, it's going to be pretty incredible.
Yeah, if that happens, I have to be a part of it. So,
well, there you go.
I'll do whatever politicking I have to do to get that match.
you'll like legit like beat up MRP's brother, who is also like the one of the refs for PWA, right?
Absolutely,
we'll have to have an undercard match.
That's right.
Baby T versus Cedric, and then the winner can ref the main event.
I love it. Let's book that.
Right on, bud. Well, anyway, is there anything else that I have yet to ask you about? Like, do you have any referee like merchandise, or like, do you have a social media platform or anything that you'd like to plug?
No, I'm not pushing any. I'm not trying to make money at this thing. But you know, of course, you can reach me if you can find me on Facebook. I'm probably not that hard to find. Feel free to add me, and you know, I'd be happy to. I've got a lot of fans on there, and I enjoy chatting with them on private message here and there. So, absolutely.
Okie dokie. Well, thank you very much for coming and doing the show with me today. It's been wonderful talking to you, and it's been cool to like just get some stories from the referees and stuff.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me. It's awesome.
Yeah, no problem. Do you have like one more little like just one more cool story to just let us off with before we leave?
Yeah, what's another good story? I would say, you know what? Probably one of the favorite matches that I've ever been with. I don't know if you remember this one. Was when we had Tommy Dreamer town, and it was a Newfoundland Viking Rage against Tommy Dreamer and Evan Adams, and it was a hardcore match. So of course they did the you know, the thumbtacks, and I think they were hitting each other with the, you know, the chairs and going through tables and the whole bit.
Yeah.
And then, but when they brought out the cattle prod, and I think they were hitting Evan Adams and zapping him with the cattle prod, and the thing was like it was like, shoot, electricity coming out of there. I could hear it. And I was like, what is going on here? And then, of course, a quick slam through the thumbtacks, and then 1, 2, 3. And here I'm just trying not to – I'm just worried about hitting the thumbtack with my hand. Meanwhile, these guys are taking cattle prods and thumbtacks to the back. So that was something crazy.
That sounds like it would be something crazy. Unfortunately, I don't think I was there for that, but I wish I would have been. Tommy Dreamer is like one of my favorite wrestlers for some reason.
Yeah, wealth of knowledge too.
I would definitely like to like just sit and listen to him to chat about wrestling for a while for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got a podcast. One day I should try and get a crossover podcast with Tommy Dreamer. I don't think that he would have me on, though, but that'd be cool.
Never know. Make it happen.
You never know. Alrighty. Well, I want to thank Cedric Hathaway IV. Let's talk about that for just 1 second before I let you go. I know.
Sure.
Why is that your referee name?
That actually came when we were doing that Heart Legacy show, the one at the Pavilion, when we had a couple thousand people. Mark the Shark DiCarlo called me up, and when he offered me the position of referee for the show, he said, we need a name. Like, what's your name? Well, my ring announcing name was actually Sly Stone, which had been given to me by Bruce Hart. And he said, yeah, I don't think you should go by Sly Stone anymore. It just sounds like Sylvester Stallone. I want you to come up as Cedric Hathaway IV. There was a legendary Stampede Wrestling referee named Cedric Hathaway back in the 70s, and he used to wear the white shirt and the suspenders. And he said, okay, you could be his like great grandchild. And I said, that sounds awesome. And it never, I kept that name, but more importantly, I kept the look. So the white shirt and the suspenders and the bow tie. And if nothing else, you know, as a referee, you don't want to get yourself over and take the attention away from the other wrestlers.
No.
So I've been very conscientious not to let that happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the look is just different than all the other referees with the black and white striped shirt. So I just hope that that alone might help them remember me and separate me from the other referees. And that's kind of the goal there.
Right on, bud. Well, that makes total sense, and I'm glad to hear that you've got like some kayfabe relatives back in England.
That's right.
Does it have anything to do with Thaddeus Archer and his like being the third or whatever?
It does not. Nothing to do with Thaddeus.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, anyway, I've tried to close this off with you for like 10 minutes now, and I think I'm going to just go ahead and get that done now because I feel bad for holding you up.
No worries, man. It was really nice talking to you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming on the show and doing that, whatnot. And we'll see you next time there's a show in Calgary, hopefully.
Hopefully it's sooner than later. Yeah. Enough of this COVID stuff.
100%. I hope you and your family all can stay nice and safe until then.
Right
for
on.
Sure.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okie dokie, bud. Bye bye.
Bye.